So we've been listening to some songs over the past month, haven't we? I mean, we began at the first Sunday of May, and we heard a song by Philip Phillips from American Idol, where the chorus of the song is, "I'm going to make this place your home." And I reflected onto you that one of our core values of hospitality is when people come to visit, we should make them feel like they have found a new church home, or even treat them like royalty. Then the week after that, on Mother's Day, we heard this song, "That's What Friends Are For," as a reminder that we are created to be in community, that we're not here just to be individuals focused this way, but that we're connected to each other and that we should be intentional about connecting to one another. Now, last Sunday, it was a bright, shiny day. Actually, it was raining, but that was the song. It's going to be a bright, sunshiny day, and it goes, "I can see clearly now the rain is gone," and that is what happens to us when we engage in spiritual growth. We actually will see things more clearly. Now, if you missed any of these, you can catch up online, but today, we go back all the way to 1969. It is the second release of a singer by the name of Jackie DeShannon. Her first album release was in 1965, and it was going to be a hard one to top because that song hit number one in 1965, and some of you might know this song from 1965, not the one we're going to play here in a minute. And it was, "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love." That was her number one hit in 65. So in 69, she released a new album, and it didn't quite make it to number one like her first one. But I bet it's more popular because it has been recorded over and over again by groups like the Dave Clark Five, Andy Williams, Anne Murray.
Who the Balance.
Yep.
And who Everybody knows who they are.
Yeah, right. Clayton's about to do it. Who doesn't like Anne Murray, right? I mean, come on. Everybody loves Anne. Dolly Parton. And if that's not enough, if you don't think this song has cred, I'm going to give it the ultimate credibility in this. Are you ready for this? That not only did all these people do it, and Jackie DeShannon, but when Leonard Nimoy put out an album, that song is on his album. If Spock records a song, that's street cred right there.
We're doing his version, by the
way. Oh, good. You're doing Spock's outer space version of this song. Okay, that's good. That's good. It was even featured as a closing song in the Bill Murray's retelling of A Christmas Carol. Remember Scrooged? Annie Lennox from the Eurythmics did a recording of this as a closing. But this song inspires us to respond to others in need by cultivating a certain mindset. And with that, let's hear that song.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see it's getting late, oh, please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart. For you,
for you,
and me,
you just wait,
and see, yeah. Put a little love in your heart, put a little love in your heart, put a little love in your heart, put a little love in your heart.
I'm going to venture a guess that you did it better than Leonard Nimoy. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
No evidence
of that. So one of the ways that we do life together is when there's a need, we jump in. That's just how it goes. The end result is exactly what the song says. The world will be a better place when we help someone out. Think of your fellow man, human. Lend him a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart. Please don't hesitate. And the reason we have to even talk about this is that within Christianity, and I'm not accusing anybody here of this, but some Christians, all they're locked in on, all they're concerned about is getting to heaven one day, and that everything else goes by the wayside. They are convinced that what happens in the here and now is incidental, if not inconvenient, to what comes next. They're not thinking about or even addressing the places and the people that need help right now. Now, here's the thing. If the here and now doesn't matter, why on earth would Jesus teach us to pray a prayer with words like this, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? I mean, Jesus knew, he knows everything, right? That one day, Christian churches around the world would gather in his name, and most of them every Sunday would pray this prayer that he said you should pray, hoping that words like this would sink in, that somehow your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is telling us what happens here and now matters. It's not just about getting to heaven. Now, if that's not enough, Jesus, as he was teaching about the final judgment of all things, said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." I mean, that seems pretty clear to me. How we care for others matters to our God. I mean, so if we're the type of Christian waiting for Jesus to bring the kingdom, or if that doesn't happen fast enough, just waiting to go to his kingdom at the end of our lives, ignoring the needs around us, we got two options. We either stop praying the Lord's Prayer because we really don't believe your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, or we need to think about heaven a little less and start getting our hands a little more dirty. I mean, last week we talked a little bit about spiritual growth, one of our other core values here, and I wanted to let you know that all of the things that we've talked about over the last 4 weeks and then next week, which you see on the bulletin, you see at the bottom of our theme verse banner, are all steps towards spiritual maturity. They're in order, as a matter of fact. How we would take one step into the next step into the next step, and how we develop and grow closer to Jesus and to each other is important. And I will tell you, each of them are tied together. For example, spiritual growth is tied to responding to needs in this way, and I kind of boiled it down. Spiritual introspection should lead to external action. Now, say that with me, okay? Spiritual introspection should lead to external action. See, the purpose of spiritual growth, I said last week, isn't to get smarter, but to love more fully. I mean, as you come to know how much you're loved by God, spiritual growth informs us that we should share that love with somebody else. And when we read the Gospels, the stories about Jesus found in the Bible, we see that how he acts and how he lives, that the here and now matters. So that leads us to the core value of responding to the needs of others. So if spiritual introspection leads to external action, well then, when there is a need, we jump to it. And we do as a congregation. I mean, I look at it this way. A number of years ago, there was an over-enthusiastic evangelist, young guy, knocking on doors, visiting towns, you know, trying to win souls for Christ, all that kind of stuff. And he comes across an Amish man in this town he's visiting, you know, trying to win it for the Lord. And being somewhat naive, goes to the Amish man, and he asks him whether or not he'd been saved. whether he had accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, which is an odd question for asking an Amish person who is Christian. The Amish man thought about this question for a little bit. And then he thoughtfully and kindly replied about, "Are you saved?" And he said this. He said, "Why would you ask me such a thing? I could tell you anything. But if you want to know whether or not I'm saved, whether or not I believe in God, and it reflects in things I say and do, here's the name of my banker and my grocer and even my farmhands. Why don't you go ask them if I'm saved?" How we respond to others matters. Spiritual growth is not an intellectual pursuit, nor should it be about getting smart. It should lead us to deeper and kinder connections with one another, especially when someone's in need. I find it fascinating that Jesus' half-brother James, and he ended up being the leader of the church for a short amount of time after Jesus ascended into heaven, and he wrote a letter to the churches, and he talks about this. Matter of fact, he uses an illustration of Abraham from the Old Testament about how he lived his life, not only in faith, but in action. And James writes and talks about Abraham this way. He says, "Look, you see that Abraham's faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did." And then in that whole section at the end, this is how James summarizes it. He says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." And he writes that because the same is true for us. Now, don't go thinking that we're talking about kind of earning God's favor. This has nothing to do with that. This is about how do we express our faith. And responding to the needs of others is the natural outlet of having faith in Jesus. Helping people when they're struggling expresses your faith in a way that God intends for you to do. So here's what I tell you is that genuine faith spurs a Christian into action. I mean, when you think about Jesus' life, we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What we see is Jesus didn't sit on a mountaintop just meditating all the time. Now, did he go up to the mountaintop? Yeah, of course he did. But he didn't spend his entire life up there waiting for pilgrims to make their way up the treacherous climb so that he could dispense kind of fortune cookie wisdom to individuals so they could go back down into the plains and contemplate life. It's not what he did. I mean, if we could go back in time, we could go to Israel, you know where we'd find Jesus most of the time? With the people. In the messiness of life. That's where you find Jesus. Healing the sick, connecting with the forgotten, including those who had been excluded up to that point. You could always find Jesus where there were people and there were messes and their things weren't going right, and that's where Jesus was trying to help. So if you want to find Jesus today, just look into the eyes of someone who's struggling. Because whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. I mean, even if we go back before Jesus, I mean, we're not Jewish, mind you. But you can totally hear God's heart on how we treat others in the Old Testament, the law. And so what you'll see is that God hasn't changed about how he feels about helping others even before the time of Jesus. And therefore, it matters even today. Listen to this. "Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your brothers and sisters and towards the poor and needy in your land." I mean, that's strong language. I command you. Not a suggestion, not, "Well, when you have extra time, would you?" Or, "If when you have extra money, or when it's convenient, could you, you know, slip an extra?" I command you. It's a priority. God says be open-handed. I mean, when you're open-handed, you're able to give, but you're also able to receive. And when we give of ourselves, we often receive more than we'll ever give away. I mean, that's way different than being tight-fisted, holding on for dear life. Well, this is mine, and I've earned it, and why should I give, and why should I help, and they don't deserve, and, you know, all the mindset that goes with that. And God doesn't qualify who the needy are. He doesn't. I mean, Jesus even talks about those who are in prison. I mean, it's very hard stuff, but it shows you the importance of what Jesus is talking about. So if we open our hearts, you know what follows is our hands follow. They open up. And we might be blessed way more than we bless in somebody else. Let me finish off with a story. And it begins in 2015 when this beagle was found as a stray in Kentucky. And you can see that he's kind of on a tight leash there because he was a stray and they didn't know kind of what his temperament was. And he was found by a Good Samaritan and taken to a shelter for care and a checkup and maybe adoption, but it was a kill shelter. So there was only so much time this stray would have at this place. And this beagle never actually got adopted from this shelter. And luckily, another rescue organization had seen this beagle's picture on their website for adoption, and they thought, I bet we could get this dog adopted. So this other organization called A Dog's Dream Rescue calls down this shelter in Kentucky and says, hey, we'll take the beagle. We think we can get this beagle adopted. But you have to give us permission because we're coming from Canada. And they said, sure, you know, we can't seem to get this dog adopted. So rescuers from A Dog's Dream Rescue drove from Canada to Kentucky, came and got this beagle, and drove all the way back. So the dog's now a Canadian citizen, okay? So then there was an adoption event, because that's the whole purpose, is finding a home for this dog. And so at a Pet Value, which I suppose is like the Canadian version of PetSmart, they had an adoption event in Milton, Ontario. And this beagle was there, and there was a woman from the United States. She was actually working in Canada at the time, saw the beagle, fell in love, and adopted him. She named the beagle Guy. You know, G-Y, Guy. So Guy the beagle. And you look how sad he is here. Here's after he's eaten and lived a little bit. He's a little bit happier now. So, you know, this is a good story, right? Because it turns out that it wasn't just anybody that adopted him. This person was working in Canada because they were an actress on a TV show and they were filming there. And so this dog actually now belongs to a movie star or a TV star, which is kind of cool. Rags to riches. From Kentucky to Canada to, you know, Hollywood, right? But it gets better. 3 years later, this dog's mom would marry Prince Harry of England. Yeah, that's Meghan Markle's dog, right? So the last known photograph of Guy is this photograph right here. He's in a limousine. And I know it's hard to see because of our screens, but he's riding in the car with his new friend, the Queen of England. Guy, the abandoned beagle of Kentucky, now lives in Kensington Palace. I wish I was a beagle, right? Yeah, yeah. All because, don't lose sight of this, all because someone opened their heart and responded to the need of this dog who had no home. And maybe some of you aren't dog people, I get that, and that doesn't count in your book, but I'm going to tell you I think it does. Because a life was saved. All because of the love in her heart. So please don't hesitate. I know it's getting late. Put a little love in your heart because the world will be a better place. Just wait and see. Amen.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart. You see, it's getting late. Please don't hesitate. Put a little love in your heart. And the world. Best. Another day goes by, and still the children cry. Put a little love in your heart. If you want the world to know, we won't let hatred go. Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you.